on much more than anybody expected.
Okay, David, how about an update on turkey or any other part of Thanksgiving?
Inflation there. The government says the average frozen turkey price is 1.2% below last year.
Ah.
And there's such a big glut of cranberries that the Agriculture Department said this week it's going to buy 68 million pounds of them to try and stabilize prices.
Thanks, David.
You're welcome.
David Wessel, director of the Hutchins Center at the Brookings Institution and a contributing correspondent for the Wall Street Journal. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm David Green.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. It's about 10 minutes till the hour of 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time. Corn futures in Chicago are up 2 to 3 cents for the day, and are nearby December at 377, 2 3/4 higher. July at 398 and 3/4, up 3 cents. January beans are 7 to 5 cents lower. The nearby, or the bean futures, that is, nearby January down 5 1/4 at 1046 now. And the July at 1061, down 4 1/4. November of next year, 3 1/4 lower. Bean meal futures are up 380, and the lead option December bean meal a penny lower for the day. Wheat futures trading the December at 5.55 1/4, up 3 3/4. Live cattle futures are 12 cents higher. Feeder cattle up about $1 and a nickel. And lean hogs for the day are down anywhere between 17 and 25 cents. On the phone line this morning to take a look at these numbers and what happened in Chicago and her expectations for the holiday week is Jackie Vague. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good morning to you, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Todd.
Well, happy Thanksgiving first. Looking forward to the holiday season. And
happy Thanksgiving to you, too, and to all of our listeners, for sure.
What do you see in the marketplace today?
Well, I think we maybe have found a little bit more reality when it comes to the bean market. You know, they reacted strongly to what they thought were congressional budget office numbers that were leaked out into the news yesterday, and then found out, you know, that they're nothing more. In fact, they looked so much like last year's actual numbers that came out, you know, in January, February, and March, that they were just nothing more than an email invitation to people where they're starting to work on this. And so this was a baseline point. And so I think the market today is reflecting that. We're down a little bit on beans. Interesting, when you look at beans, 28 out of 30, the last 39 years, we closed positive the day before Thanksgiving, and 22 out of the 39 we closed positive on beans the day after Thanksgiving. Now, positive could be an eighth of a cent, but it's still positive. So it'll be interesting when we get to the end to actually see how things go. But corn has continued to be supported by wheat. You know, the world wheat weather does not look very good, and, you know, it's gotten a lot of support this week from that. And I think, too, the idea that we're probably going to have the bin doors shut for sure for the holiday. And, you know, they need to get corn. There's just no two ways about it. When you look at what the basis is doing, and the early closing of the Mississippi River up in Minneapolis certainly should improve basis, and we've seen that down here anyway, because they're not going to get any grain from up that direction. And so the farmer has lots of opportunity to be able to take advantage of what's going on. And so that's what we're looking at. Try and squeeze every penny out of the market you can.
I want to come back to the beans, and then we'll switch over to the corn again, but talk a little bit, and this will be for the beans and the corn, the CBO baseline numbers. This was an email, to clarify, that was internal and leaked out in some way, but it did have a set of numbers for not only this year and next year, but previous years and on out, I think, several years on out from the email I actually saw. This came out of D.C. at some point, so it wasn't as if it wasn't a set of numbers from the Congressional Budget Office. It's just a working set of numbers that won't have any official precedence over time. But I suppose the market works on rumors. I think it's a little disconcerting that maybe this got out of somebody's hands. That might be the first thing that's a problem, I guess.
I took advantage of the fact that I've had the opportunity by going to D.C. as well as Chicago USDA meetings to reach out to Joe Glauber, who's the chief economist. And he sent me some very interesting information. And he said they have their meetings. He said the CBO, which would be the Congressional Budget Office, and FAPRI have their baseline review meetings starting late November, early December. He said they send out preliminary estimates to invited participants, including government, academic, and private sector people.
Oh,
and
so
then
that's
they
how
get
they
together
got.
To discuss. That's exactly how that got out. And so, you know, it isn't a matter of. So I think the concern about the fact that.
It's just the
it
fact that we
happen
to
journal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These right. numbers are out more often than we thought. Okay. Good enough.
Yeah, and they, you know, they're not supposed to be released. You know, this is not the actual release dates for the Congressional Budget Office will be late January, and Fabry will come out in March, and then the USDA has their own baseline numbers that, you know, they will release the week before the Outlook Forum in February. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's there's a lot of numbers out there, but it's disconcerting to think that someone takes their responsibility so lightly. That, although I would imagine from a financial standpoint, they were probably long beans, is what I was guessing.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
And so.
Well, and the numbers would show that acreage expectations for acreage to go down, right?
On beans, yeah. Yes, compared to what we're thinking. But on corn, you know, 90 million acres is what it said on corn. Did corn tank yesterday? Not even a little, right?
Right.
And that is way higher than anybody's expecting it to be. And so I thought it was very, it's disconcerting, but, you know, it's the market, and it's people.
It is indeed. Okay, so now back to the corn market. As we talked earlier this morning during the opening market report, as opposed to this one, the mid-morning market report, farmers really will be under the gun, some of them, to make some decisions about grain that's in the elevator, meaning that the elevator is going to say, do you want to store it another month or not? And
right.
they're going to charge them. So they've got to make some decisions. I take it you're of a mind that they might want to sell a portion of it.
Well, I would think so. You know, the interesting thing is, you know, Friday is first notice day, Todd, for December grains. And so, you know, basically on Friday, we're going to see the December contract. You know, if you're long the December contract, you really need to be out of it, or else you got to be willing to take delivery. It'll be interesting to see what actually happens. And so then they're going to be paying off of the March contract. You know, March is the 390 at 390 right now. And so I think that when you look at the big picture, with the tight basis, I heard a 7-under basis yesterday, which is unbelievable for this time of year. If you can take a 7-under basis and make a sale, why wouldn't you consider doing that? You can always re-own the grain if you want to, but as we get further in, you know, and it's getting concerning because you start talking to some of these elevator guys, and when it comes to any demand after you go out into the first of the year, they're not seeing the normal orders that might be coming in. They're just not seeing the China orders. They're not seeing a lot of the export orders. So our opportunities may be in this time frame when grain is really not moving very much.
Have you been watching the outside markets enough to understand anything about inflation across the planet? I think I saw that Europe, Japan, the United States are all below 2%, which is kind of their target.
Right.
But they're concerned that it's not at the target. I suppose below the inflation level sounds like a good thing, but maybe not so much.
No, it's not a good thing at all. In fact, when we first began to see the U.S. dollar really take off was when we saw that the European Union's inflation, you know, just fell apart, basically. And so that was the first indicator that their economy was not as good as we thought it was going to be. And then we saw Japan's fall apart. And now we see the U.S. coming in underneath it. What it's really saying in general is, okay, we're moving forward, but we're moving forward at an extremely slow rate. And so you know, I think a lot of people think the U.S. dollar has only gone up because of things here in the U.S. That really is not true, because if you can understand how the market functions, if you're in Europe, you're in Japan, and you need to buy a product from the United States or you need to sell products, you're going to buy the dollar to protect yourself is what you're going to do. And especially in an escalating market, if you're over there and you're an investor, you're going to buy the dollar is what you're going to do. And so, you know, these inflation numbers are really not supportive. They're supportive of the dollar, but they're certainly not supportive of recovery in the marketplace. And I, you know, we talked about it on Monday at the meeting in Bloomington. You know, when you look at crude oil being priced in U.S. dollars everywhere in the world, these fragile economies we have over there are suffering because of the fact that their oil is costing them more with every tick up that the U.S. dollar does. Now, we've been fortunate because we've actually seen crude oil go down, but tomorrow on Thanksgiving, when we're in Turkey, OPEC's going to figure out if they're going to actually increase production, stay the same, or decrease production.
Well, I guess we will find out more then, won't we? Hey, Jackie, thank you so much for taking the time with us. I'll talk with you again at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock today.
You bet. Thanks, Todd. Have a good one.
You too. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana. Find her online in a few minutes if you'd like to listen to it again at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Our master website at will.illinois.edu. Taking a quick look at what's happening in the weather forecast for the day on our way to 36 degrees under mostly cloudy skies today. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and 29. Tomorrow evening, cloudy and 19. And Friday, sunny skies with a high near 41 degrees. Friday, south winds at 8 to 18 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 30. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.